every day on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
I've got to say, this is a very, very sad tale indeed. Blazing Saddles, it's been an icon in the tourism industry, Blazing Saddles, for decades. But no longer. Now, this is an article, page 6, today, Kent's Post, from Chris Calcino. It reads that an icon of the Far North tourism industry has become the latest COVID-19 casualty, with doors finally shutting after 3 decades in operation. Michael Trout made a heartbreaking walk around his Blazing Saddles adventure tour business yesterday morning, taking photos of the horses he now has to sell. Here's what he said: lockdowns have killed us. We've given notice to our landlord. Anyway, it goes on to say the Trout family launched Blazing Saddles June 1990 as a modest business with about 5 to 15 visitors a day. This is just when we were coming out of the pilot strike. So it would have been a hell of a struggle back then as well. And anyway, within a few years, about 80 customers per day were riding around the grounds on horses and motorbikes to get a taste of Far North Queensland life. I won't go through all the details of this, but it does say Blazing Saddles has been operating on a skeleton workforce, but pre-COVID it employed about 30 people, including a mechanic, trail guides and reservation staff. Michael Trout, a former LNP member for Barron River, said recently announced $5,000 business support grants were hardly worth the paperwork for most struggling operators. Now, this one as well, and he's been on the program talking about these insurance companies in recent times. It says insurers' growing refusal to cover public liability for horse riding was another nail in the company's coffin. The business has got 23 horses. Michael says they're like family members, and 15 quad bikes, which must all be sold. Look, I've got him on the line here. We've got to talk about this very, very sad business. Owner of Blazing Saddles Adventures, former member for Barron River, Michael Trout. Morning, Michael.
Good morning, John.
Days don't come much sadder than this, I presume.
No, John. I honestly thought we were bulletproof, our tourism industry here in Cairns, particularly since the pilot strike. And you know, one thing they can't take away is our memories. And they were really good memories, John. We spent, you know, every year we'd, you know, quite a few of us would travel together through Asia, and the rewards were unbelievable, and the you know, the network we built up with wholesalers and inbound operators was incredible, and not to, you know, and our domestic. And the reason I said bulletproof is that because every month of the year we had business. We had, you know, Chinese during Chinese New Year. You'd have the March and May holidays in Japan, and then you had the, you know, everyone, you know, came to Cairns in the winter months right through to Christmas. And we, you know, we just kept building our strength and marketed very, very well. And I just reflect back on the 23rd of March last year when I took the last ride out. I picked the people up on the bus and I took him out on a horse ride, and I thought, well, we'll be right. This will pass by, and by September we'll be going again. And what's been the heartache, John, is that, you know, we were given a real leg up, you know, with JobKeeper, and it kept all our businesses alive up here. And then, you know, they decided that, you know, that the economy was returning, and there was growth there. Well, there was in a lot of businesses, but not in tourism and hospitality. And the sad part now, John, is that when a business like Blazing Saddles goes, it's not just trail riding and horse riding. Mm. It's those years of networking, years of marketing. And if someone else even comes into this market and they're a good horseman, they'd take the first 5 years just to get to know the other operators, let alone you know, be able to travel to Brisbane or Sydney and Melbourne and do ATE and everything else. And it's very sad, John. I've sort of walked there for 2 days. I haven't done much because I just, buddy, you know, you think I'd do this next and do that. But I spent a lot of money on my horses. I really pride our fleet of horses here, and spent a lot of money, you know, breeding some new breed of Gypsy Cobs. And that was going to be another add-on to our what we offer here. And but, you know, sadly, You know, you touched on it before, the insurance. We've been battling the last number of years to get public liability insurance for trail riding, and I believe there's just going to be one left after we go, that's Cape Trib. But the other horse riding companies have all gone the same because of insurance. Mm. And it's extremely expensive, but now you can't even get it. There's 30 underwriters that we went to when the current mob said they weren't going to insure anymore. And it was a knockback for everyone, even though we've got 30-year history and no claims and so forth. It's irrelevant. They deem it a risk.
Michael, let me ask you this. Obviously, when Australia's borders were slammed shut, that must have been a very difficult thing to take. It would have been very, very difficult to continue on without that international injection. But then again, we had the business from Melbourne, from Sydney, from Brisbane, etc. What was it like at that stage before when those harsh lockdowns didn't apply?
John, the domestic market is incredibly important to our mix up here, and every family that flies to Cairns, they're the ones that spend the money, because the kids want to go and have some adventure. They want to go on a horse or a quad bike or both. They want to go whitewater rafting. They want to do all those sorts of tours. And I know there's not a lot of, you know, I go and see a Morgan Freeman board in town now, and to see what numbers of different tours were on that in years gone by compared to now is you know, is mind-boggling. And I, if we could have, you know, kept our, you know, some trickle of numbers coming through, but they tell me that there's only a couple of boats going out at the moment on the reef.
Yeah.
You know, hotels are screaming out. And to me, you know, people, you know, that they need to, if we could just get another, you know, 3 or 4 months of help, it's going to keep some other businesses alive, because you cannot operate with no clients, and this trickle on effect is going to affect all the Cairns, the housing market, the whole thing. Is if we as tourism operators, some businesses employ hundreds of people, if they are now restricted to very very minimal hours, well, they will leave. They will go and find another job in the mine or something else to make a living to pay their mortgages. Mm. So I see a massive trickle-on effect going to happen, John, and if it needs to be addressed right now, otherwise it's going to be too late.
Back to this insurance business. I mean, to say homeowners have been suffering for years, and specifically that's those fundamentally north of the Tropic of Capricorn, have suffered appallingly for years trying to get cover, many of them not succeeding, many of them having very sleepless nights heading into the cyclone season. But this is a different matter altogether, your business, isn't it? Talk to me about this public liability thing, not just one company, but I think you said about 30 underwriters. What's going on there?
Well, what's happened, John, is a lot of them have also amalgamated. So it's not the first time we've run into a hurdle, but this one you can't jump. When HIH went under, that was a major wake-up call to the adventure industry. Now, unfortunately, with trail riding, there's not many of us out there, so you've got no voice. The reef operators all band together. They've got one voice. And they can help there, but slowly, they are limiting any risk at all to adventure. And the big issue is, yeah, New Zealand passed a law in 1994 where you must take responsibility for, you know, signing a form, and you know that if you're going to go horse riding, what could happen. Whereas we've never done that, and therefore the litigant, you know, society we live in constitutes that it becomes a risk to insurance companies, and it's just easy for them to make the decision not to cover. But we're going to end up with no adventure activities in Australia. And right now, if you're in a rodeo or, you know, camp drafting, they're covered because you're deemed to be a competent rider. But we're missing in the gap. That's the reason. Is that we have beginners that get on our ponies and they do no risk, but our horses are touch button. They are just incredibly well trained, and that is the loophole. But our insurance, you know, has fluctuated from, you know, $40,000 to $50,000 a year to up to $180,000 a year.
God.
And so you took those figures with no numbers. You know, I don't know how I would have been able to handle being insured anyway. So, but we've got an absolute negative, no more. So that is the double whammy that's finished our company, John.
What's the answer to that dilemma? I mean, in Australia, without horse riding for novices is a lesser country in so many ways. What would be the answer to this dilemma?
Well, John, exactly what you said. If you've got, you know, a mother that grew up as a child riding and then she wants to take her kids riding on a holiday, it's just gone. And I'm just gobsmacked. And the government, you know, must put some regulations in there that if you're going to insure in Australia, that these are all covered. Because sure, if I'm a bad operator, don't give me insurance. But if I'm a good operator, why be punished and put into that area? But my real deal is that we've got to have a situation where there's some government intervention with our insurance. And good on Warren, it's taken a long time, you know, to get the insurance, you know, in somewhat from next July for house insurance and so forth. But this is the next gap. And you know, I did approach Warren, and he's got a lot of things on his plate. But I just don't know when we've got Cape Trib to, you know, Mount Molloy, all these places. In my time, there's over a dozen different horse trail riding places that you can go to. And now we're back to, you know, none in Cairns. I believe one of the other places offers a ride around an arena because you can still get insurance for that. But, yeah, that's not an experience. That's what you do when you go to a zoo.
Yeah,
we are the outdoor country, but we've just completely let this all happen around that. What's the centre for? Why is there some inquiries? Why is there some heat put on insurance companies? It just appears to me it's all about the people that invest in shares of these companies, that they get a big return. Well, it's at the detriment of all Australia.
Yeah. Michael, what will you do now?
Well, you know, thankfully, you know, I've got, the family, you know, mum and dad are still very healthy and still very, very active, and still a cattle master and you know, the daycare and so forth. But it's just, you know, we will adapt again. We've had to do it before. Help one of my brothers with his trucking company and perhaps get into some training or something. But, as sad as it is, you've got to be a realist, and that's what I am. And it's time to move on. And I'm just very sad for Cairns, sad for, a great product that we built over those years and all the people who helped me, you know, the late Charlie Woodward and Dennis Ferguson.
That line's dropped out, I think, hasn't it? Can you hear me, Michael?
Yeah, mate, it's a bit emotional.
Oh, okay, I understand.
But, you know, we did so much, and it was good for this city, and
obviously. There may be some value in actually getting word out there about, well, you're selling everything up, and if you'd like to get back to me when you're not feeling so emotional, you can let us know the details of that, and that could help a little bit as well. But I think a lot of people listening to you explain your plight today, well, some will relate to it personally because a lot of people are suffering, but a lot of people will have a great deal of sympathy too for your situation. And thanks for sharing it today. Get back to me when you get an opportunity and we'll talk about the future and that sale, etc. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. Thank you, mate.
So. Gee, that's sad, isn't it? Sad, sad, sad. Owner of Blazing Saddles Adventures, former member for the state seat of Barron River, Michael Trout.